is Local Decision 2023 here on North Metro TV. And in the studio now with us is Michael Ruland, running for Lino Lakes City Council. There's four candidates in this race, two spots open. You're already on the council, so you're running again, Michael. Thanks for stopping by.
Thanks for having me.
You must like what you're doing on the council because you want to come back.
I do, yeah. Yeah, it's been an educational process, to say the least. You know, having been on Economic Development Advisory Committee for Lino, moving on to planning and zoning, you know, I had a little taste for it, but then certainly being on council now for the past 4 years is like, and then going through all the things we went through with COVID and special meetings and all the tough decisions we had to make, it's been an educational process, to say the least.
Yeah, you jumped in at a very unique time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it was kind of like, wait, what did I sign up for here? But no, it's been good. It's been fun to, I guess, have kind of a say in the community where I'm raising my family.
Yeah, and what have you learned? I mean, this is grassroots government. I mean, this is right there at the base of everything. Have you been able to pick up on things that you thought, oh, wow, I did not know this is how it worked?
Yeah, I mean, high level on that, it's there's a lot of different things that it doesn't work the way that I thought it did, right? And so you think of kind of armchair politicians or whatever, and, you know, they say, well, why don't they do this? Why don't they do that? You know, and I've had the opportunity to learn some of that stuff where it's like, ah, I see why we can't do that or what the consequence of doing those different things would be.
What do you like about Lino Lakes now? What's the city doing well?
Sure. I love the wide open spaces. I love the rural feel of Lino. It's like we're kind of a bigger city on that first ring of the metro area, but we still have that kind of small town feel. And that's the thing I'd say I like the most. What we're doing right, I would say we're getting into some different commercial development. We have a lot of different opportunities going on with that. I'm excited to keep seeing some of that stuff through.
So how do you maintain that charm, that pastoral setting of an outer ring suburb? You know, you can go down and watch the Twins at night and be home in 25 minutes. How do you keep that lifestyle?
Yeah, that 20-minute thing, that's what my wife and I always kind of talk about. It's like, you know, we're always 20 minutes away from anywhere we need to go, and that's one of the draws, I think, to Lino. But how you keep that, I would say, would probably be, you know, not rushing into development, doing, you know, we want to develop, but we want smart development. You know, we don't want to just throw up whatever we can because some dollars are coming in.
What do you think the city needs to get better at?
I would say reviewing some ordinances. That would be one of the, if I were to be chosen by the voters for a second term, that would be one of my top priorities, would be to review all the ordinances. I think some of the stuff is outdated, and, you know, we have some building officials that are just enforcing what they need to enforce, but at the same time, it maybe can cause issues with development. And the perception then becomes, you know, less favorable to bring in, you know, businesses, new homes, stuff like that. So I would say I would like to revisit some of those ordinances.
I know in your bio you've focused on infrastructure. Mm-hmm. Let's start with a water treatment facility. How important is that to Lino Lakes?
That's extremely important. I mean, it's one of the local government's, you know, top priorities is the water we drink, you know. We've had an issue, and that issue came to light, you know, right when I was first elected, and, you know, been looking at some different options. You know, we've had to shift what wells we're drawing water from, which is causing some strain on that. You know, we've had to implement watering bans. Like many communities, you know, we've had some drought years lately. That's contributed to that, of course, as well. But the main thing would be, you know, providing safe drinking water for all of our residents. So that is one of the top priorities and something that the current council and I'm sure future council would be committed to establishing and fixing.
So is the goal to get a brand new water treatment facility somewhere down the road?
I would say yes. Yep. I think that's what we'll need for sure, and especially with the growth that we've experienced and, you know, our forecasting, I think it's important that we have that infrastructure in place ahead of that.
And then Public Works is another thing I know you're supporting. You've got to get better equipment, and obviously winter's coming. You know, you've got to be able to get those roads plowed when you have the snow and stuff like that. So where do you land on all of that?
Yeah, we need to come up with some solutions for that stuff as well. You look at how much money the taxpayers pay towards investing in this equipment. And some of the equipment lasts for a long, long time, but sometimes it can be cut short, is what I've discovered, because maybe it's not, there's no room to properly store that equipment, so it's subject to the elements. And degrading that equipment is causing us to buy new equipment sooner than maybe its original forecasted lifespan. So that can cause issues with when it comes to budget times, when all of a sudden it's like, hey, now we need to look at replacing this because we need to get those roads plowed. And so being more proactive, I guess you could say, than reactive is something I think I'm very committed to as well.
I know in the past you have said that Lino can keep taxes down by supporting high-value development. Do you still feel that way?
I do, yeah. I think, you know, bringing in some commercial development, and honestly, I brought in two developments right now to the city. Most recently, I had to recuse myself from the vote on one, but it is, I can't talk too much about it, but there is some really cool stuff coming, and the meeting I just had yesterday at City Hall, there is an absolute game changer, I believe, coming to Lino Lakes. That I think will probably be, you know, in the public purview in maybe like a month or two. And I think that's going to get some residents really excited for what's to come.
So how do you strike that balance? You talked about the parks and the trails and the wide open feel of Lino, yet you want to bring in some development, smart development. How do you keep that balance? How do you walk that tightrope?
Well, I'd say, you know, and I can't take a lot of the credit on this, but city staff does an excellent job at ensuring that when those developments come in, those trails get extended, or that's part of that development agreement. That's happened numerous times for some of the developments that have happened during my term, my first term, where parks and trails have been either established or extended or connected.
When you're out knocking on doors looking for votes, what are some of the issues that people bring up?
Roads are always a big one. You know, and we are, you know, always trying to be forward thinking and allocate more funds without having a big spike. You know, we got a pavement management plan that's been in effect for several years now, and we're trying to, you know, gradually expand that and reach more and more people. That's one issue. The water issue is another one. Some of the ordinances for, you know, building and development would be another thing I hear about. Those would probably be the top.
So when you sit on the council, you have a lot of things that land in your lap, and you have to make some major decisions. Right now, marijuana, which became legal in the state of Minnesota August 1st, and every city's really an island right now, trying to figure it out on their own, navigating through this new world we live in. How do you see the cannabis and all of that in Lino? What's the best solution?
Oh, that's a loaded question. you know, it's been unfortunate that, you know, the state has sprung some things on us as quickly as they have with some of these omnibus bills that have gone through, and we've had to be reactionary to it and go, oh, we need a moratorium on this stuff until we, you know, can do more research and find out how other communities have handled it with success. And, you know, there's always a concern with that of, hey, are we going to see more crime now? Are we, you know, what are we going to see as a result of this? I'm all for business. I think, you know, bringing in new businesses, as long as that's a law-abiding business and, you know, they're following all those guidelines, I would say I'm for that. But there's certain things that, you know, bother me, like, you know, it was brought to our attention that some of these gummies, for instance, are labeled as almost like you look at it and you'd think, oh, it's just some gummies, some kind of candy, right? And so my concern would be kids seeing stuff like that and that getting into the wrong hands, you know, inadvertently.
Yeah, and you have young kids.
I do.
And so how do you get that message out where, okay, we know it's legal now, but we want to make sure that, you know, somebody who's 10 years old isn't, you know, getting this stuff?
Yeah, well, and that's where we're working on some of those ordinances, right? You know, we kind of had to slam through some ordinances on it to try to make sure we're covering all our bases. Things like, how the legislation was written was people could literally go to a park and be smoking marijuana, and there's nothing that anybody can do about that. You know, so we've had to, put in some of those different steps to have some sort of response for our police department, some kind of overlay, if you will, to the legislation to try to keep our community safe.
All right. Well, I know this is another hot button issue. Just eliminated the school resource officer contract.
Yeah.
I know, again, that goes all the way to St. Paul, the state. But is that the way to go, or is this something that probably will look different a year from now?
Absolutely not. So I'm hoping it looks different a year from now. The research I've done on it, which is fairly extensive, I've come to terms with that Governor Walz will not be calling some sort of special session to correct what went through on that omnibus bill that basically can criminalize a school resource officer for just trying to de-escalate a fight and make them criminally and civilly responsible for that. And so what we've done as a city and as a council is we've now staffed an extra officer during the day that's committed to patrolling around those schools and, you know, potentially even walking through, checking on everything to keep our kids safe.
Yeah, and it's a tough one to deal with, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. It's extremely tough because, the police want to help, but the state is, in essence, handcuffed them, and made it very, very hard, and the school district for that matter, to provide that safety that everyone wants.
So now that you have 4 years of being on the council on your resume and you'd like to get more, what do you think the role of a council person really truly is?
Well, that's a good question. I would say transparency, being available to the community. One thing I pride myself in, if somebody reaches out to me, whether that be email or phone, I always get back to them. I try to engage with the public, help educate the public in terms of some of those decisions mm-hmm. that you think, I see why this is that way. And people are like, okay, I get it. So I would say involving the public in big decisions. That's one thing I just was a part of with Tartt Road. I suggested we do an open house for those residents around there. So just different stuff, public engagement, I would say, because otherwise you have taxation without representation,
yeah.
right? Being available to the community, I would say, would be the number one role.
Yeah, and you mentioned transparency, and I think there is a certain amount of distrust right now between residents and politicians at all levels. How do you build those bridges? I mean, we are in polarized times. How do you bring people together and like you said, become transparent?
Yeah, well, and I guess it still goes back to that. I mean, just making myself available to people and answering any questions. There are certain situations where we need a closed-door session, and that's usually for the protection of the city and the resident tax dollars. And so some of that stuff's unavoidable, but I would certainly like to, be as open as possible. I always encourage anybody to come to council meetings, ask the questions. There's always open mic. Residents are free to come in and voice their concerns, and that's something then that we all take seriously and look further into.
So here's your chance. You have the floor. Tell the viewers why they should vote for you, Michael Ruland.
Yeah, vote for me because I care about Lionel Lakes. I have a young family that I'm raising in this city. I believe in commercial development, but the right kind of development. I'm not for necessarily large apartment complexes and whatnot as I am with the right kind of commercial development where it can bring the community together. I love Lionel Lakes, and I would love your vote.
And you truly do think Lionel Lakes is this jewel of the Twin Cities, correct?
I really do. Yeah, that's right.
All right. Any closing thoughts?
I would just say I appreciate the time and the platform to do this interview on, and go Lionel Lakes.
All right. Well, thanks for stopping by.
Yeah, appreciate it.
He's Michael Ruland, running for Lionel Lakes City Council. This is Local Decision 2023 right here on North Metro TV.